When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
It all changes so exceptionally quickly in baseball. A couple of weeks and your fortunes have completely reversed, and that's what's gone on with the Angels. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio on Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. In for Greeny today. Padres beat the Angels last night 8-5. Otani made the start. Five innings, gave up, five earned runs and had five to leave runs, yeah, because of a blister on his hand. Went 0-for-3 at the plate. Angels put Mike Trout on the IL with the hamate injury, which is at least a month at this point. Then Anthony Rendon exited the game. Not that, I mean, you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt, but he has not exactly provided a whole lot for the Angels since he has got there in what is, to me, the worst contract in baseball right now. And so the Angels, 2 weeks ago, Chris, were sitting there in the final wild card spot and comfortably there. And now they're what, 3.5, 4 out of the wild card spot, having dropped 10 of their last 15. And you know what is coming over the next few weeks. Is Otani going to get traded or not?
Yeah. And I mean, it was the first time Otani had given up back-to-back home runs, I believe, in his career, which is wild when you think about it. But yesterday, he clearly wasn't himself. I mean, he had the fingernail issue. They put an acrylic nail on there, but he developed some of the blister because of the pressure that he was putting on the ball, trying to throw his off-speed stuff. So, like, you can understand why he had not a typical outing based on his standards. But in terms of the big picture with the Angels, they absolutely have to consider potentially moving Otani at the deadline. I mean, think about it. Mike Trout, he's got the wrist injury, and even in listening to his response post-game talk about it, he intimated that he would need to have surgery to fix it. He talked to guys around the league that have had the injury, and they've given him the timeline. He said, you know, some guys have come back as soon as 4 weeks. Others, it's taken longer, so you just have to see how his body heals. But we won't know whether or not he'll need surgery until the next couple of days. I mean, he did walk it back a little bit and said that surgery may not be a foregone conclusion. But in listening to Trout, it sounded like he was going to have surgery. And so if that ends up being the case, big fella, then you have to consider selling off Otani, if for no other reason, to be able to bring back prospects and players that could help you move forward, even if your free agent plan is to try to retain Otani. So I think this is something that the Angels consider. I wouldn't go down that road if I was in the decision-making seat for that organization, just because I want to show the player that I want him at all times, and I don't want to give him the opportunity to fall in love with another place in Major League Baseball. But I also understand that if you're going to throw $500+ million at a guy and you want him to be the cornerstone, trading him in a season that ends up being lost for you might not be the worst thing, because of what you can get back in return that can help him and your organization move forward.
Today is Otani's 29th birthday. Here is Aldo Gonzalez, ESPN MLB reporter, on with Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night. Does it matter to Otani for the Angels to make the playoffs about his long-term decision?
I will preface this by saying, I don't know that there is anybody in the industry, and I count executives, fellow players in this bucket, that truly knows where Shohei Otani is leaning, what he is thinking about. Anybody who says so is basically making it up at this point. I think one thing that you could be certain about with Shohei Otani is that winning matters to him. And I think another thing that he values is comfort and the ability, especially with the uniqueness of what he's trying to do, which is to be the first player in baseball history to for a long-term stretch, be a two-way player. And he needs comfort to be able to do that. He needs an organization that will basically put the infrastructure in place and sort of give him the freedom to do it. The Angels have done that. So he's got comfort there, but he wants to win. And I think this season is very much about that. It's about capitalizing on what could be Shohei Ohtani's last year with the Angels, but showing him that they can win.
Here's the thing. I don't think they can. And secondly, in the next month, in the next 4 weeks before August 1st, Chris, you cannot lower the price just to move him. You're talking about not wanting him to find some other place where he could fall in love, right?
Yep.
If I'm the Angels, we'll have talks. And my talks start with your three top prospects and maybe two young major leaguers who aren't going to cost me a lot of money, because I am potentially giving up two great players in one. Two great players in one. You are going to pay dearly for that if I am going to make that move. I might let that price lower a hair or two, but somebody's going to meet that price if I'm going to move off of Ohtani. And if that means that I have to ride out the rest of the season with him and then I potentially lose him for nothing, that's what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to do everything I can before the season ends and do everything I can in the offseason, whatever it takes, to convince him to stay here long term.
Well, big fella, I'm curious as to who those teams would be that are in position to give up a couple of major leaguers and three prospects, three of your top prospects in your farm system. Who's in position to be able to pull off a move like that and pay Ohtani $500+ million? Like, to me,
I'll give you a team.
You're not giving that up unless you're going to pay him and make him your guy and avoid this whole free agent thing altogether. Like, I just, how does that happen?
Well,
like, who's the team that's in position to do that?
If you're a team that's trying to win a championship and feels like you're in the position to potentially do that, you're the Yankees, they're always going to be brought up. Chris, would Ohtani put the Giants back over the hump this year? And then they might look at it like, we'll just go and pay you next year. But if they have a chance, they feel like they're sitting right now tied for the last wild card spot. If he gave them a chance to go and win immediately, yeah, maybe. Would Texas do it? I don't know that Ohtani would sign there long term, so that would give me more pause. But they've certainly got the money, and they've certainly got the young players to do it. So there are gonna be a few places that are going to be interested in dealing for him now. I absolutely believe that, because this guy is so much of a unicorn, and I even hate calling it unicorn. We just literally have never seen this before, Chris.
No, there's no doubt that he's a great player. Like, he's an all-timer. There's no question. Like, again, the only comparison to Ohtani in the history of the sport is Babe Ruth, and that was in the dead ball era.
Back and look, there's really no comparison. Ohtani's doing it a lot better than Ruth.
But that's my point, though. Yeah. So, like, you're talking about, you know, this being, you know, a once in a lifetime type of guy. And so, yeah, I get that there will be people that are interested. My only question is, if you're a team that fancies yourself as a title contender, do you have the players and the prospects to give up Ohtani without assurances, to give up for Ohtani without assurances that he's going to re-sign with you? Like, that would be the thing that would give me cause to pause. If you're the Angels, it makes sense to have the conversation. I would just let the player lead that aspect of the conversation. To me, trying to gauge what he would want would be the priority in setting our team up for the foreseeable future. And if he wants to entertain the possibility of helping out the organization by going somewhere else for 2 or 3 months and then coming back in free agency, so be it. But I'm not going to be the one that proposes that if I'm Angels ownership.
It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. You know, we talk about this so much in the NBA, and I just kind of thought of it, and I'm, as you're discussing that, right? If you're the Angels and you are entertaining it, are you going to him, like you said, more out of just trying to continue to build my relationship of being completely respectful for you and doing everything I can to lock you up for the long term? Even if you're open to it, but you still want to come back. In other words, ownership trying to do everything they can to be player friendly in that situation.
Yeah, it's a delicate dance. And that's why I would let the player lead that aspect of it. But if you're the Angels, you're hoping that it could be a situation like what we saw with the Yankees once upon a time where they traded away Aroldis Chapman in free agency. He ends up going to, traded him away midseason. He ends up going to a title contender in the Cubs, and then they bring him back on a 5-year, $85 million deal. But one of the players that they got back in that trade with Chicago was Gleyber Torres, who's an all-star caliber shortstop. Mm-hmm. So you're hoping that it could be that type of proposition. But to me, I'm just asking, what title contending team is in a position to give up as much as what the Angels would be asking for in order to get Shohei Ohtani just on a rental?
All right, I'll ask you.
I just don't see that as a possibility.
Well, I'll throw another one at you. A team that has been awful for a really long time and is right now at the top of the wild card in the American League and is a team that, frankly, has so many young players and prospects because of what has happened for them losing for so long. You're the Orioles. You're going to just go and maybe take a shot. Can you imagine what Ohtani would look like for the Orioles this year? That would vault them. That would vault the Orioles to a chance to win the World Series. Like, there are teams that have been so bad for so long or in position to do this where I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. But to be clear, I completely understand and respect the idea of letting Ohtani drive it. I'm not doing it if I'm the Angels unless I get exactly what I want coming back. I can't do it because he's that level of player, and I will ride it out the rest of the year. I'm not going to just do it to do it. That would be a huge mistake. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app. Canty, I cut you off there. I mean, you can lower the price of hair, but you have got to load up if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I think they ultimately end up keeping him just because I don't think there's going to be somebody out there that's paying him without the assurance, paying the asking price to the Angels without the assurance that they're going to be able to get him locked up, long term after the season. Like, to me, like, the prospects of doing it on a rental, trying to pull off what the Toronto Raptors did once upon a time with Kawhi Leonard, that's a tall order, especially with what they're going to be asking for in return. So I don't see it happening. I think it ends up being Ohtani staying put and the Angels trying to do everything that they can to convince him that Los Angeles is the best place for him to continue his career and potentially finish his Major League Baseball career.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So if you're the Angels at this juncture, do you trade him before the deadline? And if so, what teams should be in the mix to get him? At 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm not asking for trade proposals. I'm asking for realistic situations. So this is not, I'm going to give you all of my garbage and here we'll get Ohtani for nothing. That's not what this is. Should the Angels really consider dealing him away right now? 888-729-3776. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny. Now, you may know this. Chris Canty is a tremendous NFL player. He is a world champion, and he has played in every environment on every stage in football. What's the toughest to play in? He's going to tell us next on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny, the podcast.
888-SAY-ESPN with Ohtani. He did leave the game last night with a blister, but assuming that's no big deal, should the Angels at this point, with the injury to Mike Trout, with how they've been playing, try to move on from him? Before we get to the top five environments of home field advantage in the NFL in 2 minutes, Canty, let's get a call in first. Lance is up first on ESPN Radio. Lance, what do you got, bud?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, man. I was just thinking, you know, the Reds, from over the years occurring everything they've occurred, they could put the Ellie De La Cruz ain't in that package. And maybe you can put in Joey Votto's contract just to move that.
Oh, I don't think they're going to be able to move.
No,
I don't think the Angels are moving it. You know, are moving Ohtani to take a contract on like Joey Votto's contract. But I mean, that's unfortunately when you start talking about those kind of trades, Canty. Like Ellie De La Cruz is where we're going to start when we're talking about Ohtani, and the Reds are not going to want to do that.
That's where we're going to start. But here's the thing. The Reds aren't an organization that's going to pay through the nose in order to keep Ohtani. So essentially, they would be trading for a rental.
Right.
I don't know that it's worth it for their team based on where they're at right now. They've got a pretty strong farm system, and they've got really good young talent that's in the bigs. I don't know that the Reds need to make that kind of a move. They're already atop of the NL Central. So what would be the impetus for them to do it? Their championship winner or their title contending window is just opening up. So I don't know that you have to make a move like that for an Ohtani rental and give away a lot of your young talent. I just don't see that as something that makes sense based on where they're at in their program building.
Alvaro is up next on ESPN Radio. What do you think, Alvaro?
Hi, how you doing today, guys?
Great.
So, yeah, basically, I think the Angels should make the move. They should consider getting some kind of assets for Ohtani because he's going to walk away for nothing. That organization does not win for whatever reason. They just can't even make the playoffs. Ohtani cares about winning. They should try to get something for him because I think it's a 90% chance he's leaving once free agency comes.
Listen,
I don't know that it's going to be that high. I think there are limited teams when it comes to people that are going to pay for Ohtani in free agency. Carlin, you've talked about this a lot. I mean, it's going to be $500+ million.
Yes, easily.
That's a lot of money.
Yep.
And there are only so many places that Ohtani is going to want to go. So certainly all of the West Coast teams are in play because he wants to be close to Japan. But you're also talking about the New York Yankees. I mean, those are the types of teams that are going to be involved in the bidding. So with it being a handful of teams, I still think the Angels have a chance to re-sign Shohei. I really do.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, ESPN Radio. We are coming to you live from the Seaport District, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
From the top five NFL quarterbacks.
So badly want to bring Super Bowl here to Buffalo.
Herbert rolling right, throws, touchdown.
To the top five NFL fan bases. We're ranking the top of everything in the NFL. This is ESPN Radio's
158.
Rank them. The top five home field advantages.
Chris Canty, obviously having experienced every NFL environment, is of the utmost skill and experience to provide this list, and he will do that right now.
Number five.
I'm glad you pointed out that it's from my own personal experience, okay? So let me explain my rationale with each one of these. And we're going to start with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Link is a tough place to play. And I was in that division for 8 of my 11 years in the National Football League. The rowdiest fans in the NFL, bar none. Big fella, we came up with a list of the top 5 fan bases in the NFL, and Philadelphia was number 1. So we can't have them as a top 5 fan base or the number 1 fan base without having them in the top 5 when it comes to home field advantage. So Philadelphia, the Link, it's rowdy. I mean, for goodness sakes, the fans ate horse poo when they won the championship. That just shows you they're willing to take it to any extreme in order to cheer on their team.
Number 4.
Number 4 would be the Miami Dolphins. And people are going to say, what? Why is Miami number four in terms of toughest places to play. Like, you don't have fans that are necessarily locked in every single season. But if you've played in Miami in September when it's 100 degrees, or in December when it's 90 degrees, it's a tough place to play. NFL guys are not accustomed to playing in that kind of heat. When you put on the gear, when you put on the pads and the helmet, and you're not used to running around in those temperatures, that kind of humidity, it can be tough on you. And there is a built-in home field advantage for the Miami Dolphins. And there's a reason why this team is top five in winning percentage at home over the last three seasons in the NFL. Winning in September and winning in December has a whole lot to do with that. And, of course, the weather is going to be the biggest factor.
And also, let's not forget, South Beach, undefeated.
No doubt about it. That's the other
part. Number three.
Number three, talking about environments making it tough on opponents. The Denver Broncos in Mile High Stadium. Yes, the altitude is a real thing. There is nothing you can do to adjust to it. You can try to come in right before the game. You can try to come in a couple of days early to get acclimated. It doesn't matter. You can't adjust to it. You're going to be breathing heavy when you go to play at Mile High. If you're not used to the thin air up there, it's going to be a problem. And I just, it's one of those things where, as an NFL player, you understand this is going to be a tough matchup just because of the environment. Not to mention, it gets really loud in Mile High, too. They got some really pretty good football fans up there as well.
Number two.
That would be the Seattle Seahawks. Mm. Now, listen, Seattle is one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. I don't know what they're calling it now. It used to be CenturyLink. I don't know what they're calling it now. But Seattle, their stadium is built like two amphitheaters that are overlooking the field. Like that, the sound, I mean, Beastquake happened when Beast Mode broke that tackle against the New Orleans Saints in the playoff game for a touchdown. Like, there was a physical vibration in the city of Seattle because of that moment. Like, Seattle is one of the loudest environments that you ever want to play in. Not to mention the travel to Seattle too, big fella.
Oh,
it is an outpost in the NFL. Mm. There is no quick trip to go play the Seahawks, even if you're a West Coast team. So I would say, like, Seattle is a huge, huge home field advantage.
Number one.
It's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yep.
The Kansas City Chiefs, like that is the loudest stadium in the entire National Football League. And at this point, we're calling it the Arrowhead Invitational, the AFC Championship game. I just feel like this team has given that community something to rally around. And over the last five or six seasons, it has become the most raucous, the loudest a stadium experience in the National Football League, which gives the Chiefs a huge, huge advantage. One of the toughest places, if not the toughest place to play around the National Football League. So there's the list. Any glaring omissions, any points of contention?
Just questions. You left Buffalo on the list, and I get why, because I don't think you look there. When you see the Dolphins play how they did in the postseason, when they go to Buffalo with a backup quarterback, that takes a little bit of the myth away from it, right?
Well, I mean, I saw how Miami played Buffalo. What was that in? Ooh, I think it was week 15.
The regular
season. It
was
right
too,
before
yeah.
Christmas. It was a snowy game, and Tua had never played in temperatures. What was it? Below 40 degrees,
mm-hmm.
And that was a 3-point ball game.
Yep.
So I mean, and then you lost in the divisional round to the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoffs this year. I don't know that the home field advantage is as strong when it matters the most for the Buffalo Bills. Now, that being said, the Buffalo Bills are tied with the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs for the highest winning percentage in football at home over the last 3 years. So make of that what you will. I would just say, based on what we saw at the end of last year in December against Miami and in January against Miami and Cincinnati, the home field advantage for the Bills ain't all it's cracked up to be, even with the fans jumping on tables in the tailgate coming into the game. I don't see it that way.
Last two would be Green Bay, and I'm a little bit surprised, if we were going a lot based on your own experience too, that New Orleans wouldn't have been in there.
Yeah, I thought about New Orleans. They were there, but it just hasn't felt like the same type of home field advantage.
Yeah. I mean, they were 4-5 at home last year. So,
listen, when I was with the Ravens in 2014, 2015, we played down in New Orleans, had no problems with it. So it wasn't the same. I think we're a little bit removed from the time where New Orleans had that huge, huge home field advantage back in the mid to late 2000s. I will say this, the Green Bay thing, never really had problems in Green Bay playing against the Packers. I mean, a part of the Giants' 2011 Super Bowl run, we went to Green Bay in a divisional round, and we absolutely smoked them. That was our easiest playoff game during that postseason. So I don't necessarily read too much into Lambeau Field. It's one of those venues that every NFL fan should visit because it's just that special with the history. But I don't think there's this huge advantage for Green Bay Packers.
So that is your ESPN Radio rank'em for this July 5th, the top five NFL home field advantages, courtesy of Chris Canty. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your calls on the Angels and Ohtani. Is now the time to start developing the plan to move on from him and potentially trade him away before the deadline if you're not planning on offering him $550, $600 million and something just really disheartening that, frankly, it broke me over the weekend. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
You look at the people who were at the white party, the Michael Rubin white party out in the Hamptons, Canty. Like, besides us, who wasn't there? It's absurd. Everybody's there.
Yeah, big fella. Listen, I'm not a celebrity, but I'm shocked that you didn't get an invitation. Like, no. I don't know how that didn't happen. Did they just lose it in the mail? I mean, why weren't you there?
I didn't want to. I turned it down.
I mean, you're as tied in as anybody in that Philly community. I just feel like you would have been there at the white party with Michael Rubin. I just thought you would be there.
I would. I was not invited, surprising as that is, because I would walk in and I would immediately have the look of, why are you here? That's the look I would get in return. And A, I don't own any linen clothing. I don't own one bit of linen. And
really?
So, yeah.
No linen for the big guy.
And it's not by design.
It's breathable for the summertime. Linen is a good way to go in the summertime, big fella.
I know, but really? I don't. Does it go okay for the big guy? I don't know. Does it?
I mean, as a fellow 300-pounder, let me tell you, linen could save your life in the summertime. You might need to invest.
Oh, okay, but let's be clear.
What's up?
We might both be 300 pounds, but one of us carries it a lot better because he's 6'8" and an athlete, as opposed to the other one who's 6' and not an athlete. So
I don't know if you can qualify what I am now as being an athlete or
okay,
athletic.
But here's my point.
Just going to put that out there.
I don't know of any linen with the expandable waists. Let's put it that way. I don't
know
if that's
happening. So what you're saying is if I could find you some linen pants with the expandable waist, you would rock out in a linen suit. That's what you're saying.
I'd wear an entire white linen outfit, and I will.
Done. Say no more. Say less. Say less. Say less. Say like you walked into it, and now it shall be so.
You want
give me
to do
a couple
it?
Weeks. We own it.
I'll do
say
it.
Say less.
I'll absolutely
Carlin
do it.
Carlin with the all-white linen. The only thing I need you to do, Carlin, if you were going to the linen party by Michael Rubin and the Hamptons, the white party, not the linen party, but if you were going and you had an all-white linen suit, you would have to have the white brim to go along with the suit. Like, you would need a white hat to go along with it. You'd have to have that.
Yeah.
I could absolutely see Cat Daddy showing up to the Hamptons, Michael Rubin's all-white party with the white linen suit, with the white hat. Now, would you throw on the white gaiters to go with it?
I'm so afraid of the alligators after the stories that you've told. I don't know that I wear any gator shoes
now. You staying away from the gators altogether?
Yeah. I mean, any gator sees me wearing gator shoes, they're immediately going to be pissed off. Oh, you're wearing Frank? Is that right? Is that what you're doing? No.
I'm just saying, I could absolutely, I will, listen.
If you want to outfit me, I'll do it.
We can make this happen. The all-white linen suit with the hat to match and some white gators.
We can have the Canty and Carlin white party ourselves.
Yeah, or you know what? Not even the white gators. We can go with some white slippers. Carlin with the white slipper shoes, the linen suit, and the hat to match. Oh,
that would be amazing.
Fresh to death. Big fella, putting on for the summertime.
I'll do it. I'll absolutely do it. And I'll tell you, I will look like a shorter, fatter, less talented DJ Khaled. Can't
I just
Carlin.
Need you to scream out when you come into the party, we the best. That's all I need you to say. When you come into the party, we the best, and hit her with another one.
Another one. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. In for Greeny. Let's hit Wade up next on ESPN Radio. Wade, what's going on, bud?
Yeah, guys, hear me out before you just tell me I'm nuts, but I'm thinking the Pirates for Ohtani, and here's why. First of all, it's the first time in a while that we haven't stunk as a team. We have a ton of prospect capital. So we can give them a ton without them spending a bunch of money. We know it's going to be a rental for the Pirates, but if we pack the stadium and just think how much more valuable Ohtani becomes if he saves Pittsburgh, put him in the office.
Listen, I understand the sentiment of it, certainly. But you're 500. You're in a middle
division.
It ain't
happening for you.
Yeah, you might make the playoffs and get on a run and all that. That's not worth it. That's not what the Pirates need to be doing.
You already have 350 win teams in the National League. It's not going to happen for Pittsburgh.
No.
It's okay. It's just not going to happen for you guys this year.
Jesse up next on ESPN Radio. Jesse, what's going on?
Hey, guys, I love the show, and I don't mean to be rude, Carlin, but if you're going to wear white, you're going to need a bib as well, because you spill everything, man. Every show, there's something getting spilled, and if you're going in an all-white suit, brother, man, you're going to need towels.
Canty, and listen, I can't argue with the thing he's saying. My first date with my wife, we went to a restaurant, and somehow I am wearing a white button-down shirt, right?
Uh-huh.
And I decide, in my inimitable wisdom, to order pasta with red sauce.
Oh, yeah.
The entire, I don't remember a word that was spoken when the entree was on the table, because all I could think about is, don't spill it, don't spill it, don't spill it. Did I get through without spilling it? Of course not. Of course not.
Of course you did.
I had a stretch.
That brings up a bigger question, though, big fella.
Yeah.
Is it a faux pas to eat at an all-white party? Like, can you eat? Like, I'm sure that Michael Rubin had some kind of hors d'oeuvres flowing around the place along with the cocktails, but is it a faux pas to eat at an all-white party because you're in danger of spilling something on your all-white fit?
Listen, if you're Michael Rubin and you have invited me to that party, you knew what you were getting into. That's all I would say. Like,
so there would have to be food, and you would then, in fact, eat the food.
Absolutely, I would. And I am at the point now, I have reached the point in my life where I just, all right, if that happens, I don't care. I don't care, really.
You don't care? So you're just like, I'm at the white party, but it looks like I have a red shirt on because I've spilled so much barbecue on myself?
Exactly. I mean, that's more of your problem than mine, because I'm going to go on, and I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to be fine. If I somehow offended Diddy because I spilled barbecue sauce, hey, don't put the barbecue sauce out. That's on you.
So if you go to the Michael Rubin white party and Chris Carlin happens to be invited, just look for him where the food is at. That's probably where you'll be hanging out.
If there's past hors d'oeuvres, I mean, I am very good at, you know, weddings or whatever, of spotting where the hors d'oeuvres are coming out from and camping out in that general vicinity.
So you are first pick of the hors d'oeuvres.
Exactly. There's not going to be a situation where you are coming anywhere near me with an empty tray. All right, let's scout here. It was my niece's wedding in October out in San Diego. Oh, okay. Door's over there in that room. We're going to hang out over there. Not next to the door. Not obnoxiously so. Within the line of sight. What's
coming next?
You
were just making sure that you were within the path.
Exactly.
You were in the path where they were coming out with the hors d'oeuvres to pass around to the crowd.
You ain't getting past me without paying the toll.
See, that's just good strategy.
Yes.
That's just sound strategy. You had a game plan, and you went into it, and you executed. And that would be the same thing with us putting together an all-white fit for you in honor of the Michael Rubin white party this past weekend.
All right, so who's got a problem with me, Cam, about, you know, saying DJ Khaled?
So Ben looked it up. You said that you would look like a shorter, fatter DJ Khaled. I've met you, Carlin. You're what, 6'1"?
I'm 6 foot.
6 foot? Ben, yeah. How tall is DJ Khaled?
That man is short. He is 5'7".
So, oh, really?
You were way off with your DJ Khaled comparison.
I guess, all right, so I wouldn't be shorter.
So you'd
but
be
I
a
certainly...
taller, more handsome, leaner DJ Khaled.
Maybe I should just go with Balder.
A Balder DJ Khaled for sure.
Yes.
Or how about this? He'd just be a shorter, bigger version of Pitbull.
How tall is Pitbull?
I assume Pitbull's taller than 6 foot. I would assume. No?
Yeah.
It looks like it.
I think he's taller than 6 foot. Yeah.
I'll show up, Mr.
I don't know, but I'm just going to go with it because it feels right.
You know me, Mr. 305. Let's
hit
Sean.
Just saying, bald guy, all white fit. I just like you and Pitbull. There you go.
Sean,
put
next.
On the stage, you wouldn't know you apart.
Wait, Sean. Pitbull is only 5'9".
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
These guys are always shorter than you think.
It is so much nicer to find out you're above average in one category. It's just such a – it warms my heart to know that. It is.
So you'd be a taller, wider Pitbull.
Wider, yes. I would be
taller,
a wider Pitbull.
There you go.
Sean next on ESPN Radio. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, brother. How are you?
As a Braves fan, I'm living life right now.
I would imagine so.
This is the best, most fun I've had watching the Braves in my entire life. And I don't think anything would be more of the cherry on top than if they went out and got Ohtani.
Wait a minute. You just won a championship
Ohtani.
A couple of years ago.
I know, I'm just being greedy. I don't think we need Ohtani. I'm just saying. I want Ohtani to win. I think he deserves to win. And put him in that lineup, and we put up 10 runs a game.
But...
First of all, they don't need Ohtani. They're the best team in baseball. They don't need Ohtani.
How could this be the best in your history when you have watched a team? They're going to make the playoffs for the 23rd time in 33 years. I mean, that's a – Canty, if we're talking about the best organizations in baseball, it feels like we forget about the Braves sometimes.
We do forget about the Braves, and dare I say, you want to talk about the best players in all of baseball.
Oh, my God.
Ronald Acuña Jr.? My God. Like, I know everybody is paying attention to the season that Shohei is having, and for good reason, but just go take a look at Ronald Acuña Jr.'s season. He's got an OPS north of 1,000.
Yep.
The guy is phenomenal in terms of runs created. Like, you're not going to find much better in all of baseball. Like, you have one of the best players in the entire sport, not to mention one of the best offenses in the entire sport. You don't need Shohei Ohtani. That is a nice to have. That's a luxury, but you don't need him. They're already the best team in baseball. They don't need to go out and trade big league players and prospects in order to bring over Ohtani. They don't have to do that.
No, you've got Matt Olson at 8 years, 160. He's only leading the National League in runs batted in. Ozzie Albies is under contract for another 4 or 5 years, at least under control. He's second in RBIs. Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna, both tearing it up, both going nowhere anytime soon. The Braves are not just great. They're going to be great for a while.
Carlin, they're coming off of a 9-game win streak that was snapped yesterday by Cleveland, but this ain't the first 9-game win streak they've had this season.
They're 23-4.
They've done it a couple of times. They're the best team in baseball.
I tell you, it's
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
They really don't get the credit for being the organization that they have been for the last 30 plus years.
And here's the one thing I'll say about Sean. Like, how can this be the best time you've had as a Braves fan when you just won a championship? How?
It is an embarrassment of riches that has happened with that organization. It is absolutely absurd what they've been able to do. Tomorrow, another one.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.